From a competition to a pleasure hunt and all the stops in between, we cover it all here at Coon Hunting Media.
Houndsman Advantage is a proud sponsor of the Coon Hunting Media Podcast. Houndsman Advantage is the premier digital scoring solution for the competition hunter. The app gives the necessary tools to score in competition or track your dog's hunting performance while on pleasure hunts. Imagine the benefit of having this tool at your fingertips on every hunt. Some of the features included within the app are a scorecard view, a summary view with tree timers for up to four dogs. There is no more calculating split strike and tree points manually. They are preloaded within the app. Cumulative scores will be automatically totaled with current plus, minus, circle, or deleted points after each scoring situation. The app includes the full rules for UKC, PKC, Pro Sport, and AKC. A search function is included, which allows you to find specific rules instantly. The app allows you to scratch or withdraw a dog at any time during the cast. When the app is running under the UKC rules, it will automatically scratch a dog that has reached the scratchable amount of minus points. The app includes a kennel function for personal information such as registration numbers and entry cards. You can also store analytics on your dog's accuracy, win percentages, and much, much more. Even though the app has been tailored with the competition hunter in mind, the pleasure hunter has not been left out. You can set up pleasure hunts that track up to two dogs' performance at a time. You can keep totals on accuracy, whether good or bad. This will be broken down to the game scene, dens, slicks, and so on. When you register on the app, you are given a one-week free trial. Within the app, navigate to the news and update section. There, you will find a video that will walk you through how to use the entire app. Don't lose a cast because you didn't know the score or you had the wrong score. Give yourself the advantage, the Houndsman Advantage. The app is available for download at the App Store and Google Play.
Welcome back to another episode of Coon Hunting Media Podcast. This is Stacy T and all the guys that are around here.
Hello, everybody.
Howdy.
We're back again.
With the Christmas season quickly approaching, we're going to say our Bible verse this week about the Jesus is the reason for the season. It said, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
Outlaw Light Company, owned by Alan Roberts, located in 10 Mile, Tennessee, 25 years of light building experience, with the newest addition to their lineup, the Ace Pro. They are constantly striving for the best parts. The Ace Pro has better switches and batteries, and it has the option of double walk light and two additional color modules, main beam and a green laser, or a single walk light with three color modules, main beam and a green laser. All their lights are known for dependability and extreme brightness. Contact Outlaw Lights for their complete light selection. Their direct business number is 423-453-8813. The Ace Pro, the light with a lifetime warranty.
Briar Creek Kennels, feed and hunting supply store, owned by Chris Girth, located in Hemera, Indiana. Briar Creek carries all your pet supplies and is the headquarters for all your hunting dog gear. Never get caught in the dark. They carry Outlaw Lights, Superior Lights, and their own Briar Creek Light brand. They are an authorized Garmin and Dogtra dealer. They offer hunting apparel by Yoder Nylon, Southside Hunting Gear, Dan's, Razor, and their own Briar Creek branded gear. Dog boxes include Old Dry Pond and Diamond Deluxe, AGM thermals, engraved nameplates, dog collars, and leads are just a few of the many other offerings you can get from Briar Creek. Visit the store in person or shop online at www.shopbriarcreek.com or check them out at the major events. Their direct business number is 812-383-9489. Briar Creek Kennels Feed and Hunting Supply Store.
Dakota Light Company, owned by Hoop and Tater Franklin, located in Tellico Plains, Tennessee, with the newest addition to their lineup, the Dakota Express. This light features the industry-leading True Dual Battery Pack cap light. Switching from battery 1 to battery 2 is a simple flip of a switch. Contact Dakota Lights for their complete light selection. All of their lights are known for dependability and extreme battery life. Their direct business number is 423-261-2551. Dakota Lights, great lights, and even greater customer service.
All right, what are we talking about tonight?
I'll say we go jump in here to this White River we down in Arkansas last week.
Well,
that was a lot of fun.
We've talked about going, and we finally did.
What's we made the migrate.
Looking forward to going back.
Talking about migrating, what was about the birds down there?
Everywhere.
Oh, man, it's pitiful.
I mean, I thought it was pretty cool.
You could melt the shotgun on, melt the barrel on several shotguns down there.
That was crazy.
My boy would get me in trouble down there.
That's pitiful. I ain't never seen so many birds in my life.
I was telling some guys at work, it's like driving around here. Like, if you're sitting around, you know, in the wintertime, sometimes you see the blackbirds, and they look like a swarm in the air. That's what it was everywhere down there, but it was all ducks and geese.
They looked like everywhere. whole clouds out there. So many. I know a lot of people are thinking, yeah, I see that all the time, you know, that lives down there, that's listening to this, but it was crazy. I never seen it before.
Yeah, we don't have ducks and birds here.
It looked like actual clouds in the sky.
No, I think they named that ammunition correct, Black Cloud.
And then the fields. I mean, we were on our way back, and everybody was asleep in the truck, and Stacy wasn't asleep, but his eyes were closed. But we were driving, you know, them big long stretches of road, and I saw it coming up on the side. It was probably a 100-acre field.
I remember when you told us.
And I have never – they were all snow geese, I guess. There had to be 5,000 in that field if there was
– On our way back.
You couldn't have walked through there without –
I got a video of that one. That's huge.
That was crazy. Well, and then what about the time when we was coming back from our late lunch, early dinner, and all them birds out in that one field and them two teenage boys out there trying to
They're trying to put a sneak attack across a thousand acre
open field. It wasn't working.
And no. we drove right past them, and they never flew.
No. Yeah, them guys, their sneak attack was not very well.
No, they failed.
That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that trip.
I did too. I got to see different country. I liked it. I never been over in that part of Arkansas before, but I really enjoyed it.
I will say, after going out there for a couple days, anybody that's listening that has ever been there or lives is privileged enough to hunt in that regularly, you wouldn't hunt Tennessee.
No.
Ever again.
No,
ain't no way.
Definitely different. And we got told several times that there's not the coons there that they usually is. I mean, we had dogs going 700, 900, three quarters of a mile of tree coons, and they said that's unusual for you know, 400 or 500 yards, you cut a dog, tree coon. Go another 400 or 500 yards, cut a dog, tree coon. But
we were tickled to death.
22 degrees though.
It was cold.
I don't think we could have picked a worse time to go there as far as weather goes, because who was expecting it to drop off and be that kind of a cold snap on us?
And I tell you what, that mud is slick. Let me tell you, that's slicker than snot on a doorknob. I ain't never been no mud like that before.
Water's cold too.
How do you know that the water's cold?
Swam every night. That's ridiculous.
You know, if you'd have followed me, you would have had to.
So that was pretty good too. The one night,
I still would have went over my waders, but I wouldn't had to. I wouldn't had to.
I never went on my waders.
Well, you never walked to the tree. Walking from my tree to you. Walking from my tree to you, I did get over my waders.
But it was.
But I wouldn't have walked 300 yards like that.
But it was funny because the dogs treat on the backside of that lake out in the middle of nowhere. And you waded the entire thing over to the dog, and then Stacy, we get over there and like, I'm going over there with him. He just walks right around the edge of it, and he's within 10 feet of you.
Well, I didn't know who it was because, yeah, I was talking. It was the neighboring people, you know. I was like, mm-hmm. I started yelling. I yelled at you.
Yeah, I
said,
heard.
I said, who is this? But I heard Stacy yell something back. I didn't know it was you because I was about to shoot the coon out.
Well, one thing I think I figured out there and talking to several of those guys that hunt there all the time, and everybody told us it wasn't what it normally is. It was, we treat a lot of coon, but we didn't treat the coon we expected to treat out there. My personal opinion, I think the downfall of that place is turning out to be social media.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's being more publicized.
It's
stuff.
Public. I mean, you got to, I'm sure these people that's been going for years and years wishes that everybody in the world didn't know about it now. Because that's like the lady we stayed on. It was a duck hunting. Most everybody stays on duck hunting places.
Yeah.
And they had four houses. And she said if they had four or five more, they could keep them all ready. Because she had no idea what was this big surge in all these people wanting to come out there now. So that's, I think, just the amount of people out there. I mean, how many trucks were we seeing parked tonight?
That one place, when we dropped the side by sides, well, there's eight trucks there?
Eight or nine, yeah. It was
just in that one little area?
And don't forget, do not ride a side-by-side down a gravel road.
Yeah. Don't be doing that.
We found that out. We were told not to do that.
They will write you a ticket, and the boy that told me that said that the ticket will beat you home.
Yeah, 500 a bike.
But now, I talked to another guy who's been going out there for years, and actually, it was the same guy when we were talking on the phone the other day. They've been going for years, and he said back in the day, they had such a tighter patrol on that. He said it's like they don't even keep up with it, like that. He said used to. What we did, he said, there wouldn't have been no maybe getting back. He said, you would have been caught. He said, because there used to be wardens and stuff in there constantly checking on everything.
Yeah, they told me, one of the guys I talked to said that they'd cut back on the amount of game wardens that they had there this year. I guess budget deals, budget cuts and stuff like that. But they said they'd cut back considerable, like 2/3 of what usually is.
Well, we didn't see a warden the whole time there. No. I never seen a warden vehicle on the road. Mm-hmm. No, nobody was in the refuge as far as wardens goes.
Mm-mm.
And we was in one of the main parking areas driving through and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But now that that place out there, it was just unimaginable as how pretty it was for timber wise. Because we was driving around,
especially during the
daytime. I mean, you had underbrush everywhere, but it was low. But you could see 400 or 500 yards everywhere you looked, and just big timber everywhere. It was beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful bottoms.
There was red oaks in there 36 inches through. 48 inches through. I mean, it was huge. Coon got up there on some of them forks and them limbs. You'd never found them. I mean, that's just the way it's huge. Is. You just, they could have laid flat down and tucked their eyeballs, and it was over with.
There's that one that snap treed in that one swamp, that one night that I waited to her. It was like that tree. She looked like a little beagle in that tree. And that coon was in the palm of that tree up there, and I didn't think nothing about it. And he looked up at me, and I just shot him right between the eyes, and he just folded right there, and he didn't get out of that big old palm, you know, in the palm of the tree.
That's when he lost Johnny's clip.
Yeah. Man, I was in there, and I was up to my waist at that point, about to shoot this coon out. And I was pulling the clips out of my pocket. I'm frozen. You know, I'm just shaking because I'm freezing to death. I'm soaking wet. It's cold. And
I stand on dry ground.
I pulled that clip out. I'm feeling my hands are shaking. I try to load it in that gun, and I think, kaploop. I said, there goes that. I looked at it. I said, I'm not reaching for that clip.
Now,
Poor old Kyle, he has a hard time keeping up with things sometimes.
Well, I'm a magnet to anything that, like, far as bad coon hunting, falling off a bluff, swimming.
Bad juju.
Anything. Bad luck. Bad luck and cast. Losing garments, losing thermals, losing phones. That's me. I've lost it all. I've swam it all. I've waded it all. I fell off everything.
I think we'll get a shirt made says if it can be lost, I've lost it.
I have.
But you mean tell you something that would stop some of that? Stop and think a little bit before you barrel off in there like a wild man?
Well, see, now, I was in the side-by-side with Johnny and Brian, and we pulled up and I said, well, this is as close as we're getting. Well, my map card didn't show that swamp, because I think that swamp goes up and down so much, you know, the map cards don't show it. Well.
But see, when you get to be an old man like we are, you stop and you kind of scope the area out a little bit before you just barrel off in there.
Barreled off in there with me, too.
I went knee-deep, and then
I turned around and came right back to
you
us.
You want to know why? I said, Johnny, it's over my waders. You can come with me, or you can go back. I said, I don't care. I'm already wet. Next thing I know, Johnny's out of sight.
I turned my light off and looked around, and I said, there's a ridge over there. I bet that's higher than
that.
No. They went right around to
Station was already over there.
I think
that I did was the, go. We, me and Jason walked around the ridge and come right over to where you're at.
You should have hollered. That was like, hey, there's dry ground over here. Because, you know, I was in the middle of that swamp where all around me, as far as I could see, was water. I didn't know there was nothing else. I'm just going to the dog tree.
Well, it was all that old buck brush junk, too. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Those guys we had talked to earlier up the road, they had said there was a few little hills down there where we were heading. So that's probably the only hills on the entire refuge.
Yeah.
We got moles around here that makes bigger hills than that. Honestly, groundhogs.
But now talking about you losing everything, we do have another little story that went on out there that night. So we was having a hunt, and everybody was having a good time.
Did I lose something?
You were with us. You'll remember this in just a minute. Everybody's having a good time. Then all of a sudden, somebody in the group lost a brand new iPhone 16. And their night fell apart. They went from being the nicest, friendliest person to they was just mad and their night was ruined. Who would that have been?
That was not me. That was Stacy.
It's me, Stacy T.
So then we get to talking about it, we're like, how'd you lose your phone? I was mad at that dog up there, and I think I just laid it on the back of the dog box when I pulled off on the side-by-side. It's half a mile up the road. And we're all sitting here trying to calm him down, and Tyler is like, Dad, I got it right here on Live 360. And believe it or not, they drove half a mile back up the road, and Tyler walked right to it in, knee-high weeds.
Because we wasn't there. I don't think we wasn't there whenever he realized he lost it. On our way back from we recut Snap a couple times, and we was on our way back, and we got up there, and Stacy's like, I've lost my phone, and I'm like, ain't no way he's found it.
Got that phone 2 weeks before.
Always brand spanking new.
I think all of us lost something. I lost a brand new Winchester Wildcat clip.
Get on me about clips.
You lost a clip.
Johnny
too?
Lost a clip too.
I didn't know you lost one.
Yeah, well, I fell. And I guess I hit the eject button when I was falling. Throw the clip out of the gun.
Well, after Stacy got his phone back, he was back in a good mood.
He was,
kinda.
Well, we were more disappointed in the dog power. That's what was our problem the rest of the week.
Yeah, you know, I had a good dog. I treated a lot of coons. He wasn't that kind of dog for out there.
No, that
not when there's no dog around, he's not the kind of dog for that. That's frustrating.
But now, and I guess it was back in the spring, Caleb's the one that really brought that to light and told us that you had to watch for that. And I see now that we've got to go, I see it firsthand. You better hunt a dog that's loner, or he or she has to at least be ready to finish theirs, because they something somewhere getting treed around them. They're running in every direction, they better be able to hold pressure and do their thing.
Well, remember that Saturday night when we was in there treating them coons, just right out of the truck, both of us, me and you, split and both had coons, and some guy dumped a dog right in on top of us.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, we watched his side-by-side go through. Well, he had to see us. All of a sudden, I hear a dog open 300 yards from us.
We already got two treed. Got dogs treed 200 yards apart, and they still came right in there. And
they just dumped it on top of us.
The whole thing,
I just pulled
though?
Off and recut.
What's that?
It was coons sitting up there, and nobody treated no coons.
No.
There was not.
What was it?
And I like to point out a big thing. I know we shelled some gunpowder, but I never heard the first gunshot the whole time out there. I never did hear first
you
one.
Was not
here. You heard dogs coming treed, and I know if you can hear them dogs, you can hear that 22 for a long ways.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many people we talked to. I know Stacy and I talked to one guy coming out. We talked to them guys back there in the woods when we was all together. And everybody's like, man, I'm just making den trees on top of den trees.
And we're sitting here four or five tails stacked up, and we're like, man, we're doing bad, you know? And everybody's like, how good have you done? I've treed four slicks and three dens. I'm like,
yeah.
Maybe we are doing all right.
So it was
Tennessee dog bar.
Well, as much as I was things going, it took a dog that could tree coons to tree coons out there last weekend.
Yeah, it did.
And talking to everybody out there, that was just the way it was. I mean, if you had good dog power, you was doing it. We had part of ours was good dog power. Part of ours, they tree coons, but they weren't what I'd call
dog power. It took a dog that had a good nose on them, but moved around good, because you wasn't just going to drop down a little edge and tree a coon. You may have to go down that edge 900 yards and break off half a mile, then you find a coon and a decent track to tree it.
Mm-hmm. I feel sorry, though, for Hudson. Punch had a bad rough week out there.
Well, she did.
The first night, shoved the hole through a pad.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even hunt her the next night. I mean,
didn't hunt her next night. The next night, the very first tree, coon bit her, and she just
I thought she was going to die, honestly.
I thought she was going to die. Right,
because it was like in her neck. I thought it hit her artery.
And it did. It had to hit her.
There was blood everywhere. Like blowing, you shot a deer, like blowing out of her, and it's just swelling up, and it just, I mean, it squirt. It looked like you shot a deer in the heart.
Yeah, no, it was bigger than a baseball
hurt. Yeah, it was. And blood. I told Jason, he said, I said, I think she's going to die. I mean,
I kind of like my little female.
I was looking at the dog, and you know, I mean, I think it's like a softball at this point. As we're speaking, it's just swelling bigger and bigger.
I've never seen one gust like
it. It was crazy. Like blood everywhere. She's going to die if we don't do something. So he put a tourniquet, a kind of a tourniquet. It was in its place. You couldn't really put a tourniquet, because if you put it too tight, heck, you'd kill her.
It was right where it was
right on her neck,
right on top of her collar, but behind her ear.
It was wild.
So it was. I think that's what it was. I think it's like where that main artery runs out of their head down below their ear. But and that was a freak accident, because Punch is old. We don't want her fighting coon, and we don't give her many. But I was going to give her a few out there, and we tried to shoot her coons out dead. And Hudson just shot that first shot, and it didn't move the way he wanted. So he was moving around to shoot it in the head, and it just barreled out. And when it hit the ground, I mean, it was on top of her, and she's not one that backs down from anything. And she's on top of it. Next thing I know, she's got it down, but Hitty got a hold of her neck. And, I mean, it literally looked like you were pouring blood out of a coffee cup. It was bad.
I've never seen a dog bleed that. I mean, I've seen dogs bleed a lot being cut in the ear. You know, like just blood around them and stuff. But now that was like squirting like a deer been shot, you know.
Yeah.
Every time the heartbeat.
It was on a tree, on the side of the tree.
It wasn't a small amount. It was
no.
It's bad.
So, Punch, the first night, had a good night hunting. And didn't limp a drop. Time we got back to the house, when I got out, she couldn't walk. That's when I got to look, and she had that big hole in her pad. And then we didn't hunt her the second night. And then that next night, she got a tree one coon, and I had to put her back up. And then every time we'd go to a tree and check on, you know, get done treeing one with Snap, I'd go by. So I got to go back to the forward or to the side by side and check, make sure my dog's not dead.
Yeah, it's bad. We have to check her, make sure she's checking her paws.
Kyle done pronounced her judge, jury, and executioner there.
I was just stating the obvious. I thought she's going to die. I was like, she's dead.
I really think if that hadn't happened, and I'll go back, it's another thing Caleb told us about when we was talking about. He said, you get in pockets. We'd got in a pocket of coons right there. And like I said, it was just bam, bam. Snap tree to the right, Punch tree to the left. We got coons. And I had to put her back up. Snap, don't blow in there another, 700-800 yards. Got another coon. Then she blows in there. We could have treed. I don't know how many we would have treed right there.
I was thinking, I mean, we wanted to get out there and regroup, but if we would have recut a couple more times, even after them one injury, probably treated our coon or two in there.
We would have.
Cutting back up towards where we already been.
Mm-hmm. But that's, like I said, that's the same spot. We talked to them other people that was in there, and nobody was treeing coon. So that's where I'll say you will find out with the right weather conditions out there if you've got some dog power. But anyway, I had an absolute ball. I mean, that was fun.
It was fun.
That was a fun trip. I mean, our house was little.
We'll go for a week next year.
That's what I've been told. I don't know if I want to pay for a whole week, but I guess we will.
We can deer hunt. We'll let them boys skin them.
We can deer hunt a few days.
I'd like to deer hunt out there. That would be fun.
It would be.
There's no deer out there.
No deer out there.
Nor pigs, right?
They may see a Bambi.
I seen a bunch of pigs, John. Oh, my goodness.
We saw a bunch of pigs.
Was it all of us?
That was like 20 of them running across
the road.
One of them boy hollering, he said, oh, look at that, and that's about 45 pounds. That'd be good eating.
Tyler's screaming, give me the gun, give me the gun. And This was funny. So you want to tell the story with Tyler?
Go ahead.
So Tyler was talking about the whole time. He's a sniper, pretty much. You know, every time we see an animal, he's like, "Give me the gun, I'll drop it." Well,
he dropped it all right.
We gave him a 22.
He's like Rut Daniels, you know. Over there, didn't go 20. Tyler's thing is, I drop that thing right there.
I drop it. Well, Snap went there and traded coon. I think this was the last coon of the night.
No, the first coon of the night.
No, it's not the very last one. Oh, he missed that one. Oh, so he missed a lot.
Well, remember the very first one jumped out?
So the very first coon, he shot it out. He must have shot in the foot. And he bailed. And in full life, that sucker's running. Here's Tyler just running through the woods with a rifle. And that coon stops. And, you know, he kind of like backs up, you know. 3 foot frame. Misses 3 times.
Yep.
Point blank. Yep. Never cuts a hair. Finally, he hit it. Okay. So we're good.
So he's in front of us.
Yeah.
So he's going after it. So finally, he walks up there and shoots. Something that the dog play with. Because I had a pup. I want my pup play.
Yeah. And so night goes on, and they said, let's treat one more. And the Snap went there and treat another one. And Tyler's like, give me the gun. I'm going to drop this one. And it's just laying out there on the limb, you know, 30 foot up, just picture perfect. And what did he shoot? Two clips at it. He's like,
there's no thumping going on.
No, he's like, this gun's off. And Tyler's big whole thing the whole night was betting. He wanted to bet, gamble on stuff. Not money, but just betting.
Yeah, he wanted to gamble money.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to take money from me. I bet with Tyler, and I always bet at least five.
Me and Tyler had a bet the first time because you know how we had to ride 5 in the truck on the way back, and nobody wanted to ride in the middle. And I made a bet with Tyler.
Yeah, he's not real smart on them bets.
I said, Tyler, because I knew the night warmed up. You know, it was a warmer day. I fear them coons be moving early. And I said, Tyler, I bet you right now. I said, first tree out of the truck, Snap makes. She's got a coon. I'll ride in the on the side, and you ride in the middle the whole way back. He said, you got a deal.
And this is, you know, 9 hours.
Yeah, this is in the morning. I said, shake on it. He shook on it. And I was like, man, you messed up on that. And everybody's like, what do you do? Well, she goes in there, and we're just sitting there, you know, shooting up, cutting the bull. We just cut the dogs loose about that time. Striker in one breath, tree in the next, just boom. You should have seen Tyler's face. It went white as a ghost. And, but after that, when we treated that last coon, he shot them 2 clips at it. He's like, I swear this gun's off. This gun is off. I said, make another bet. So we made another bet because I just shot a coon out before that. Just one shot in his head, and it's done. And we put a bottle out there about 20 yards. I said, how much you want to bet I get within an inch of that cap?
The lid. This is the cap of
so of a water bottle. I said, you know, I may not be able to knock a cap off first shot, but at least get within a half inch to an inch of it. He said, you couldn't do that. That gun's off. Propped up on the side by side. Walked up there. It's got a holder right there under the lid. He said, I don't care. Gun's still off. He said, then we kept on driving out of there, and we seen a deer. He's like, give me that thing. I'll drop that one.
Well, I think he was dropping empty shell cups.
But we've coined it. That's his
plenty
thing.
Plenty of them, huh?
Man, we gave him so much crap on the way back home.
If you notice, I brought 300 rounds. Call the way he shoots.
Oh, well, he get that from his daddy.
No, I don't do that.
Oh, okay.
No, Stacy started to take it away from him on that one. They was all telling him how ridiculous this was, and him trying to argue that the gun was off.
Hey, the first night that we was out there, who would have shot the gun?
Brian.
Kyle shot one out, and then Brian was going to shoot one out. And he shot. I think he shot 2 clips.
Brian thought he had AR on him. It was pow, pow. He,
Mr. Military.
How am I not hitting that thing? Pow, da, 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 da.
Yeah, he
was. I'm like, man.
And that gun's off. And then Kyle shot a time or two. He had guns off. That gun's off. So we backed up for about 30 yards. A little old white spot
and the thing
on
was,
a tree.
And I shot it twice at that spot. Hole to bullet hole.
I said, what do you mean the gun's off? I said, you boy just can't shoot.
But it could have been where the trees was so high, too, though.
No, they was up in there.
That's big old trees.
Well, yeah, we may have been having a bullet drop up there.
Might have. I mean,
a few of them trees is big.
Some of them trees is 75 foot to the coon.
You know, most of the time around here, when I'm walking to a dog tree, I can flip that thermal up on the way there, and I can find that coon from one side of the tree, always. There was a few times I was walking around that tree 2 or 3 times with a thermal just to be able to find the coon.
That's huge.
That's how big them trees was.
That's huge.
You know, a few times I'm like, man, this dog's missed a coon. You know, I ain't got no heat, and all of a sudden you go to the other side and you've got the whole coon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the some of these limbs on these trees is bigger than our whole trees here.
Yeah.
And they're 30, 40 feet up before you get to those limbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I've never really seen trees that big before. I mean, down on the lake, on the core land, there's some big poplar, some big long, tall, straight poplar down there. It's 125, 150 foot long.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was the
they're not that big. They're not that big. I mean, the limbs on them are not that physically that big, but they might be 3 foot to the middle of them, but the limbs will be 8-9 inches around. Them limbs out there is 18-19 inches around.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing you'll see here occasionally is a big virgin white oak or something that's got those limbs that come out. The limbs are big as the base of a tree. That was the thing about them. But it was fun. I will say that was fun. I enjoyed that trip very well.
And the fish.
Yes, we got to throw a plug in for that place. How far was we driving? We were staying in DeWitt.
Like 30 minutes.
And what was that town dinner we were going to?
Stuttgart.
Stuttgart. Because it was JJ's Fish, right?
JJ's Fish House.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it was like a gas station.
It was like a gas station shack.
With a restaurant built to the side of it. And it was like $10 for catfish and
more
shrimp.
More food than you could eat.
And when we were sitting there, we ordered the food. And he is making one for somebody else, and they set it out there. And I looked over at Johnny and Stacy, and I was like, "Are you looking at that?" It was them to-go containers, and the container lid. What he wasn't even trying to close them; they were so full.
And the banana pudding was great.
Yeah, you guys,
the banana pudding cake you had.
Yeah, it was good too.
And that slice of cake that he sold was a fourth of a sheet cake.
Yeah.
That one slice.
It was huge. I don't know. I mean, he was a foreigner. I know that. I don't know what he was as a foreigner, what nationality he was. But he done all right. He spoke broken English. But I'm telling you, dude can cook.
You daggum right.
They can cook. And like I said, they do not skimp on the portions. Like, we were going back and ordering them side orders of shrimp because everybody wanted some grilled shrimp, which they brought in fresh weekly, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And
it was,
we brought that over there. I'm like, that's a meal for two people, and that was just supposed to be a side order,
like $5 or something.
That one night, I got 10 pieces of butterfly shrimp, and I'm telling you, they was bigger than a Gatorade bottle. One shrimp. Yeah,
but as always, stuff like going to get food messes our hunting up. Everywhere we go, it don't matter where we go, that ends up happening one or two nights. Because we're down here getting food, and we're an hour and a half late getting to the woods because we're busy doing it. We do it every time.
You know what's funny, though? Johnny had to have Taco Bell or pizza.
No.
Pizza.
Yeah, so we're hunted all. I mean,
but we found a pizza place just a few minutes from our
house. They was closed. We done tried them. It was 12. Oh, well. What was it, 11:45?
11:23.
11:23 when we dropped this order.
Had to have his pizza.
For pizza, we're all starved. Nobody lie.
Everybody
is starved. Everybody says, let's get food.
We done eat all the cereal in the house, all the lunch meat.
No crackers.
Ain't nothing left.
Saltine crackers are gone. There's nothing. And we're dying. So we placed an order for pizza in Stuttgart. We're like, we don't care. We're driving an hour if we have to.
And you did drive an hour.
We did.
From where we were.
We placed this order, and we was going to be there at 11:59. 1 minute before they closed. Place it. Johnny's got the four barrel kicked in. Hauling this side by side, 75 mile an hour, straight down it straightaway. And I called it in, and when we made the order and stuff, and they called us back. What was their whole conversation?
Well, they
because Johnny was hot. You know how Johnny is with his food.
We called a couple times, and they wouldn't answer the phone.
Yep.
So corporate answers the phone, and we place our order. And that's pretty smart on corporate's behalf to say, well, we know that they're not going to take the order. We're going to take the order and send it to them.
Put it in their system.
So they took the order. The corporate did send it to them. So the people that wouldn't answer the phone the first two times we called them.
Called us back.
Oh, we're out of this and we're out of that. And we only got small, thin, crispy crust and we ain't got no breadstick dough. And I'm like, buddy.
We don't.
Your breadstick dough comes out of a box. Don't tell me. I'm like, are you kidding me? Well, he said, well, you just ordered three or four pizzas. And I said, well, give us eight small ones.
We didn't care at this point. We're like, we want food. Give us whatever you've got left.
I know
we're going to buy.
When Johnny comes in mad about that, and he goes, that order was $87.
It was $87 bucks. And we were supposed to,
It's 1 o'clock in the morning. We don't need $100 worth of pizza.
For six of us? Seven of us? Shoot, we did too. Hey, Hudson ate half, 2/3 of one by himself.
Well, what did we end up having for dinner that
Taco
night?
Bell.
Taco Bell.
Johnny comes walking through the door with two bags.
I'm well, like, after that person, we told him, hey, give us whatever you've got, and the phone went silent.
You went on to the restaurant, right?
Well, no.
You didn't go
well, we went to the town. We're already on our way, and the phone went silent after we said, just give us whatever you've got. We're coming, and the phone went silent. Then all of a sudden, he said, actually, we're closing right now. We're not taking no more orders. He's like, we don't take orders past such and such time. We're like, buddy, we dropped our order then. He's like, my manager said we ain't taking no more orders.
Yeah, manager out in the truck. He said, I don't know where he's at. He might be out in the truck.
Well, he said, my manager, I said, well, where's your manager at? He said, he's outside. He said, taking trash out, or he may be sitting in his car.
Well, Brian says he's planning on getting some free Pizza Hut out of that.
Johnny's over here. He's mad. Johnny is mad. He's like, call corporate. He's like, I'm getting free pizza.
Hey, listen here. Listen. Now, we was well within our bounds to get the pizza at the right time. We ordered within our bounds to get the pizza at the right time. They just simply did not want to make pizza.
And we stayed respectful. Only thing that was we said to them was like, y'all are just too lazy to make the pizzas. And we hung up.
And Johnny wanted pizza.
Johnny wanted pizza and breadsticks.
Well, I mean.
And we ordered 4 2-liters of Mountain Dew from them, too, because we're thirsty.
Yeah. I
will say, I was a little shocked on that one. Yeah,
you were disappointed, wasn't you?
No, I was fine without pizza. That Taco Bell was fine. Taco Bell was good. I was surprised, though, when you guys come in with a whole 12-pack of Mountain Dews, and Hudson was like, Johnny has sat over and drink 4 of those things. Like you have a diabetic pass out on us over here.
Yeah, he drank the whole 12-pack himself.
Crazy. But now, hey, we did get 2 12-packs of tacos. So everybody
got three tacos apiece. You did good. Well, you did well.
Do we need to break the truth on actually? So on the way back.
there was more.
So you know how shows everybody's good their math is. That was everybody's just tired. So there's 2 12-packs, 24 tacos.
Mm-hmm.
There's 7 of us. We told everybody they can only have 3.
Mm-hmm. That's 21.
Yeah, so they're all gone. So who ate the other 3?
You?
We all ate one apiece on the way back.
We eat 4 and you've got 3 apiece.
Well, I covered your gas.
We said, we come up here and pick these up. We're eating an extra taco.
We went to just take care of you guys, we went over and Stacy and I spent $20-something apiece at the gas station buying you donuts and drinks and everything, candy bars. I didn't know you were planning on going buying $100 worth of pizza.
And we shared with you.
Every bit of it.
We shared the tacos,
too. You got that whole bag of powder-covered donuts.
That's okay. Hey, candy bar.
Them glazing was good.
They were good.
They was pretty good, but now the white powder ones kind of like stale a little.
Oh, them glaze were the bad stuff.
One thing I'd like to shout out is Johnny's trailer driving skills going through that Taco Bell parking, the drive-thru. We never did think about that until we're already in the drive-thru, and there's a 90-degree turn coming up that most full-size trucks can't make.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had the trailer behind
us. And we had the trailer behind us, and both sides, we were just going to jump over the curb and drive over to the main highway.
I was going
to
drive right through the grass, but the light pole and the fire.
There was about a 6-foot ditch all around us.
You had no choice.
No, so we Johnny curbed it and put his tires on top of the curb and rolled the curb like a surfer.
Well, the workers are
walking out trying to tell us how to drive a trailer. He's like, just drive through there. I'm like, buddy, there's a 6-foot ditch there. We're going to High Center or something right here. I was like, Johnny's like, leave us alone.
And
we drove right out of there.
And while we were out there, after we got done having them real nice late night dinners, we caught up and watched every Rambo movie this week. We found some channel that we had one that we were watching every one of them.
We was getting prepared for the next night.
Because, yeah, we First Blood 2, Rambo 3. We's going through all of them.
Yeah. I really did want pizza.
Oh, we know.
We know you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, pizza not four, though.
I can't tell you how many times, like, after I called, Johnny told me, call him back. I'm like, it's over. You know, we can't get pizza. They'd already closed. Call him back. Call corporate. I'm filing a complaint because Johnny's sleep deprived and mad and hungry. Not a good combo. And he's driving 70 mile an hour in a 55 pulling a trailer.
He won't be
without lights. Lights have done went out at this point.
Yeah, the lights, the trailer lights was gone. I think Jason set us up for that though.
He back into it.
Yeah, he back.
He knocked the lights off.
But I found
knocked
them,
the lights
though.
Off of it. And
I
then,
found them though.
Well, the when it rained and that water slashing up on them gravel roads, it shorted them out probably.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to talk about that. I've got to fix the bumper on my truck and everything over that deal.
Well, it happened.
Is there anything else about the White River we covered at all? Because we're going to have to take a commercial break.
It's good hunting.
It was fun. It was fun. Nice.
Trip. And it's normally they always told us it is better there, but the acorns and the flooding this year just made it just and the cold weather, they make it for a harder year for the South unit.
And make sure you do your research and find out where the swamps are at and stay out of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do recommend that because you will be cold and you will be wet, and them side by side 2 mile drives back to the structure, cold.
Because one guy did say they got in the swamp on the other side of the road. That they wasn't getting dogs out. If you couldn't bring them out, you could not get to them.
Yeah, they did. They told, and there was a lot of people was good to give you some information. And like in one boys, they said, do not go that way because you're going to be in water.
We would highly recommend trying to call somebody. I mean, we don't know a whole lot of information on it at all. It would take years to be able to figure that place out pretty decent. I mean, we know. I mean, some few places that kind of pretty much follow the crowd. Best way I can tell you.
Follow the crowd.
If there's a lot of people there, it's normally pretty safe hunting.
Well, that's like at first night, you guys, because you rolled in late, and you guys just went hunting, and there was nobody there, right? Yeah, and that's, we was talking to them other guys, and there's a reason there was nobody there. I mean, it's the only place you had. Is that or don't go that first night?
We didn't know nothing about it.
We didn't get deep in it, but yeah, that was...
But yeah, there was them maps. That was the best thing to do, is that one
download
app.
That one app
he showed us where we could go onto the website, take their PDF map that's got everything and make it all active. That helped a lot. So it was
deleted
good.
I don't got no more.
You did?
Yeah.
Nah, that sounds about like something you would do. But
I'm good at that.
Hey, what about our guide to the Winter Classic? What'd you do with
his
number?
Yeah, he said he lost his number.
I lost my phone. I changed phone.
I've told you he loses everything.
I don't
keep up with nothing.
I don't. If it ain't real down.
You know, that me and Jason got a conversation we've had 15 years ago on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
Notes.
You don't change phone. Your phone 15 year old.
Amen. I have so many phone calls of Johnny. I'm sitting there just talking away, and all of a sudden, beep, beep, beep. He just randomly hangs up, and he blames it on me. But the funny thing is,
it is him.
I call so many people a day, and it never happens with nobody else but Johnny.
Yeah, but they don't live where I live neither.
Well, you have Wi-Fi calling on.
No, when I transfer from Android to the iPhone.
You came to the bright side.
A lot of my contacts.
I didn't lose any of mine.
I lost a lot of mine.
None.
Yeah, I think I lose a lot of phones. I tear a lot of phones up. I ruin work.
Well, we just talked about it. You do stuff like that all the time.
Now you got an Apple ID, so whenever you lose your phone, break your phone.
Everything is saved now.
Now when you get your new phone, sign into your Apple account, you've got everything on there.
Hey, I got me some extra storage on mine, too.
Yeah, there you go. All
right, we ready to take a break?
Take a break.
Yeah. Coon Hunting Media is proudly sponsored by Little T Squallers.
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I got him.
Them are the words every competition hunter loves to hear. You're winning, Coon. Has just been found. Little T Squallers, owned and designed by Tim Tempton, has set the bar for high quality, dependable, and unmatched performance. From pleasure hunters to extreme competitors, he covers it all with his 5 elite models. Original Little T, the Triple Threat, the Double Shot, the Pro Series, and the newly designed Bell Ringer. If you want to enter the woods with confidence, contact his office at 423-562-5333 and become elite.
In addition to our official sponsors, we would also like to thank the following sponsors: Secret City Kennels. The kennel is owned by Mr. Mark Gettner and Mr. Wendell Jones. At Secret City Kennels,
They support the English Coonhound breed. They have English Coonhounds for sale from time to time. Contact Mark or Wendell for all your English needs. They are available for your English Coonhound advice and are happy to answer your questions. These guys have done their fair share of winning in the comp events, including wins at the PKC Labor Day Classic, fifth place overall in the UKC World Hunt, ninth place in the AKC World Hunt, English Days, Winter Classics, and the list goes on and on. Mark is the current PKC English Coonhound President. Give either of these guys a call. They will be glad to talk with you. Their numbers are Mark at 931-787-2784 or Wendell at 865-748-7795. They are located in Kingston, Tennessee and Coalfield, Tennessee.
Saddle Up Canine Cryo is owned by Mr. Bill Scheninger. Bill is located in Delta, Ohio. Don't miss out on the opportunity to keep that special stud dog forever. His services include semen collection, freezing, side-by-side shipping, and semen storage. Bill is also the owner of one of the best-known plot kennels in the country, Saddle Up Plots. Saddle Up Plots is home to UKC, PKC, AKC, WTDA, Grand Knight Champion, PR Saddle Up Lazarus. Lazarus accomplished the following accolades in 2021. He was UKC World Champ Plot, Plot Days Isaiah Kid Winner, Purina Breed Winner, Autumn Oaks Breed Champion, APA Breed Days Winner. Fresh chilled and frozen semen is available. Contact Bill directly for all pricing and services information for Canine Cryo and Saddle Up Plots. Bill's phone number is 419-467-7689. Saddle Up Plots, making plots rise again.
Welcome back, everybody. We are officially back from our break, and I was telling the guys about a little incident that happened to me the other day. This is the craziest thing ever. I got a buddy that's he got a chicken house, and he's coons have been getting in there like crazy, and he was trying to trap them, and we literally caught the stupidest coon the other day I've ever seen in my life. You know what happened?
What'd he do?
We went up there, and he's got these foot traps. And he caught that coon in a foot trap. Now, and you know how I know it was the stupidest coon ever?
How?
It chewed three of its feet off, and it was still in the trap.
My goodness.
That's funny, because you know a lot of times they'll chew their actual foot that's in the trap off.
They will.
No. Oh, but,
he chewed all the wrong feet off.
That didn't really happen. That was just a joke guy told me at work today. It was a lot more crude than that. I was trying to clean it up a little bit. But
we'll keep it PG here.
Man.
But now, on that line, I did just think of a story, and as we finish the episode, Johnny's got it. There's always good stories on Johnny, and this one made me laugh the other day.
We got a Johnny story coming.
We're going to hold that one to the end because it's a real true story. It really happened. There's video proof of it. It was hilarious. So we'll talk about that. So the last, what we're going to talk about just to finish it off.
If this video hits how many views, and we may release the video.
Well, no, the video is just telling.
It's exclusive.
The video is just proof that the story really happened. That's all it was. There's no the story happened prior to having video.
Oh, okay.
But
I got you.
The person that it happened to, there was video footage or evidence of them telling what Johnny did to them. So it was pretty good. So what's the last thing we're going to talk about? We've already used roughly 40 minutes talking about the White River and our trip. So. Talk dog training for just a few minutes.
Yeah, we have a listener question come in.
Yeah, let me find it over here.
One of many.
It's a valid question. I see a lot of different things. So this person had asked us about training pups with scent versus sight, and they talked about the different methods that could be used to train with. I was talking about, you know, a lot of people use the hides and scent on those, and then a lot of people use nets and so forth. And they just wanted our opinion on what do you really consider that training by scent? Because if you use their statement was if you use a hide or if you use a net or whatever you're using, there's still a sight factor that goes into that. What's your all's thoughts? I mean, because we've never used a net, but we've definitely used hides and other things. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I've noticed a lot, like when we use like the hides and sight and stuff, we do it a lot of times with our little bitty puppies. You know, they're all in the kennel together, and we may throw a hide on top of the kennel, and you get them all treeing up. And what that's kind of doing is just, it's like we was talking about before, that's giving them muscle memory of getting up on a tree or getting up on something and treeing at something. Mm-hmm. Is all that's doing. And so that's getting their brain. And I think it kind of helps out ease your own when they're 6, 7 months old, 4 months old, of a natural ability of coming on a tree and treeing on a scent. And once they start learning what that is, then I guess what we normally do is, well, they don't tree off sight. We may let a drag out with good hot scent, but then we don't ever let them see that drag. They're going strictly off scent as far as them trees.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to, at least with natural abilities, well, is all that's
mm-hmm.
just to see, because you know we want to try to lay the foundation of just straight scent. And you know, if they're not treeing off straight scent, especially at a young puppy, we may maybe entice them with a cage coon or something, seeing it, just to kind of get them excited and know it's okay to tree up.
I like to watch my dog, like, treeing birds and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
When I feed at night, I always feed Bo and get my young dog barking up.
Yeah.
Give them something right up on the fence and bark at it before I feed them. Just...
I mean, like, yeah, that's going back to the muscle memory of treeing up is the right thing to do.
Well, I mean, even on some of them puppies, I mean, we would take, like, going out there to feed. If you've got a little bit of time sometimes and you got the pups turned out before you feed, hide a food bowl or something and let them tree on it a little bit, mm-hmm. find it, and then tree it. And there's some scent goes into yep. that, and there's some sight that goes into that. But
because what's that doing is pretty much they're wanting that food bowl, and they're treeing to get it. When mm-hmm. you turn loose in the woods, they're wanting that coon, mm-hmm. and they're treeing to get that coon.
Yeah.
And a lot of my young dogs, I mean, behind the scenes stuff, I hide my wife. I use the house cat a lot. I've used my house cat a whole bunch. Let it bark at it.
Stacy's used a lot of cats.
On my puppies. I've used the house cat a lot. And you can break them off of them. It's no problem at all.
Oh, yeah.
But in the yard, I let it run my house cat. Yep. Especially when swing set.
We always love starting.
Or pups. I'll throw it in front of them and let it run. And let the pup run it. But just get them barking up. Because most of them they'll climb something usually.
Yeah. And because, I mean, a lot of times, the best thing for a pup is let them run loose and let them learn and tree on their own. Because whenever you turn a bunch of puppies loose, if they go out there and tree squirrels or a bird on their own, that is all straight natural ability. That is no man-made training at all.
And that's another thing. I'm about to bring my Walker-looking blue tick home.
Are you?
I'm going to start squirrel hunting. He's the age now. I'm going to start squirrel hunting. I'm going to put him in the woods and in the house and put a figure down there. I'm going to squirrel hunt him.
They get a game started.
To try to get him barking up.
Another thing, y'all gonna agree with me or not, but and some people will and some people won't. I know about the scent. I know about tree and feed bowls. I know about using hot dogs and sticks of bologna.
Yep.
But the bottom line is, it has to have natural ability, but it's got to want to please you. Mm-hmm. As the handler, as the dog owner, I think that's one of the most important things that's overlooked. You give that puppy praise, you give him hot dogs, you do these things, they got to want to please you. If they don't want to please you,
you might as well count
that's half the equation right there gone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that comment that or question that came in, they were talking about them treeing on that net or hide or whatever you're using, that they still would consider some of that treeing on site. And you know, they talked about laying the drag and let them run to that scent and walking them around, let them find it. And yes, I agree with that, but at the same time, I can also see the net, the hide, or whatever you're using, even if it's hanging out there's still some, there's scenting going involved.
They're having to trail it
to get there. And it's and to start right. with, I think it's a tool that's being used, and it's obviously worked.
Yep.
Those methods have. I mean, I know a lot of times we've worked dogs on hides with my dad and stuff when we were younger, and that's just something we did all the time. We'd lay trails all over the place.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's there. It's a visual, but it's kind of just sparking that natural ability.
I don't see nothing wrong with it at all, especially at a young puppy's age. No. I mean, when we're talking about young pups, we're talking 3 or 4 months old.
Right.
You know, they are starting to know what a coon is and what to do with it.
And we do, though, like we've done some of those things. What are we doing when we go hunting? We're packing sometimes we're packing a bottle of coon scent or something with us, and the old dogs have got a tree and they've got a coon. We know it's a good tree. what are we doing? We might squirt some coon scent on that tree
for the puppy.
For them puppies.
That backs back up is a white river trail. My plot pup.
That is true.
He's 8 months, just turned 8 months old.
Yep.
And
one tree we went to, I walked him in there with Kyle's dog treeing. We got the tree, Kyle pulled her off. I tried to get him to bark on the tree, he didn't want to bark on it. We put coon scent on it, he didn't want to look up at it.
Nope.
So Kyle pulls the tail out of his pocket and just instantly he just slammed on the tree. Right after that, we seen a coon.
We were driving down a trail.
And seen one in the woods. And I got him out and me and Tyler walked that direction. And the coon
ran off.
And we watched the coon off. Tap. It tapped the tree and gone.
And run off. And the pup went straight over there. We hit the sign, went to the tree, and it fell bellied up on
it. Bellied up on that tree that the coon tapped on.
And 30, an hour before that,
you couldn't get the dog. You couldn't get the dog to bark
on a tree. Yeah. And then an hour later, he's sitting over there with no help, barking up a tree, hammered. I mean, he was hammered on it.
And I had to go pull him off. He wasn't coming off of it.
So on that tree, that first tree was sight. Now, this post been worked. But that second tree was 100% seen because there was no coon there. But we know for 100% certainty that there was a coon there. We watched it.
And it could have been one of the big trees. It could have been another one up there.
Yeah. Did we mention the trees were real big out there? So it could have been one up that tree.
Couldn't shout out him.
So I can see that. But definitely, as you get that scent going, you want to use scent.
And a big thing, I mean, every pup's different. Every breed's different with everything. I mean, you may have one puppy. He's a natural tree dog. It's hooking light poles at 3 months old. On a bird. Then you got this one dog, you've got to do everything in the world just to get it to bark up. I mean, every dog's different from dog to dog. And like that plot pup, like you was talking about, that one time of it seeing that coon tail, it locked on a tree, and now it just went there and got treed by itself and locked up by itself. You know, and every pup is just different.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them's too tree happy. You can make a tree happy. Dad had a walker pup out of that gold doe. And literally, you let him go, the first tree he come by, he was hooked on it. It doesn't matter if it's a light pole, whatever, he hooked on it.
And I've always said, I mean, and everybody's different. I always liked one that was tree happy from a young age because it's a whole lot easier to take a little tree out of them, in my opinion, on most dogs than it is to put it in them.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I mean, you may have one a little less accurate, but the one thing about it, you're not going to be sitting there wondering if that dog's going to get treed.
Yeah.
And that's some of the things we've seen with that is some of them, they're harder to get on a tree. They don't want a tree in the yard and the birds and stuff. They're hard to get them on trees.
And what's the main issue? Like a lot of dogs, I know it ain't been on the past few dogs we've sold recently, but in the past, we've sold a lot of dogs that we just couldn't get to look up around here. And you can work with dogs that's treeing.
Yeah.
You can fix stuff. You can make them, take them up north. You can do stuff to make them a little more accurate most of the time. But it's hard to put tree in them they ain't got that natural ability of wanting a tree.
Yeah, well, you got a lot of times, like I said, the dog wanting to please you. You got to find out what that dog's wanting. I mean, sometimes you can do it with a hide and let them play with it, let three or four of them pull, stretch, tug, and they get in a little tug of war, and then they get a little competitive, and it goes from there. You can pull them out and run a drag and get them a treeing up and get them doing the good like that. Other times you may have to, like I said, take a hot dog, stick a blowny, is that scent? I mean, yeah, you're going to have that smell of that hot dog, but you're going to have a taste of that hot dog. You're going to get that puppy to where he wants that hot dog or that stick of bologna. Yep. That's part of it. You got to have them to where they're wanting something.
You was talking about pleasing a handler. That's a big thing because we've all seen pups and young dogs that you've practically got to make them bark up. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. You have to make them bark up. Then you've got these ones, they bark up one time. When you pat them up, they're barking more. They're looking back at you, wanting to be petted. They're barking, barking, barking more. They're liking the praise, so that's going to make them want to please you. And they, when they put two and two together, hey, when I'm barking up this tree with coon scent, I'm getting praised. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, but you got to watch that, though. You can overpraise one and get them too tree happy sometimes.
No, you can't.
No.
You can too.
Not at a young age.
Go ask my daddy if you can. Johnny can.
Hey.
We get them true tree happy a lot of times by warming that gun barrel up more than anything.
We do.
Yeah, well, this one, hey, the first dog I ever had.
And Johnny was good at petting him up.
And he, he wanted a tree, and I encouraged him. And Jason Daddy walked one time down there to the lake. Now, persimmons was on the trees. But he walked to 16.
And he found every persimmon tree on that mountain.
He's found 16 or 17 persimmon trees that night.
But this is in East Tennessee where we're good to treat two coons, yeah. three coons, maybe.
Well, hey, yeah. but this dog treated his coon at 5 months old, dead silent, by himself.
That's true.
I mean, he did it. And then I rubbed the hair off of him, and everyone he rubbed, I'm telling you, it looked like, you know how you drag a deer for a long ways and it's got no hair on one side?
That's how that dog was.
This one was thin on both sides.
Are you rubbing him down?
No, so, but yeah, that's, and we've tried some stuff. We talked about it in some earlier episodes. We're not accustomed to puppy pens. We've recently just tried that. That one of the pups that was there was the one that Stacy had that treat this weekend. The other pup was one that I've got, and we've got mixed feelings on that now. I mean, it's a new thing.
We can't say a whole lot about it.
It's new for us. The place we used, we sent him up to Cobbles in Indiana, and I think he done a really good job. He worked them in small groups. He was taking them out there, and we got straight up feedback from him on that. Mine, and I kind of knew it when we went up there, mine was running like an old dog, but I couldn't get her to tree. I expect her to go up and blow out and do great. She never really started treeing up there. She was running sign, first pup to the tree on him, but she wouldn't tree up. Stacy's pup was treeing up there in it, and then we brought him back, and here he is already treeing. Well, so
when we brought him back, though, you remember he's barking dog pen. I couldn't figure it out. And I went after one night and hauled at him, spreading water hose. My black and tan went in the box. The next night, I charged my shotgun card up. The next night, I was going to fix that. I walked outside, and he was standing on the fence barking the woods.
He was. I forgot about that.
I flipped the light over, and I set two coons on the tree.
Yes, he did.
I took him out of the pen, took him over, and let him run him.
So it's one of those things that
I'm hoping to send my other pup to Cobbles.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I'm willing to try some more of.
And I think a big thing with the pup pen
is how you train them.
It's how you train them. I think some dog will work excellent. And some dogs ain't gonna do
that. And that's my point. It's the dogs.
It's a gamble with anything.
It's that natural ability, and do they want to tree? Stacy's dog from here on out, I would say we could probably start hunting that dog by himself, and he's going to start treeing some coons.
Oh, yeah.
Mine's not. She's not. She's not doing that yet. She has not flipped that switch to bark up. We can get her to bark up, but she's not flipped that switch. He's flipped the switch.
Yeah.
So that's another new thing for us that we tried. So
I'm going to try some more and see how. I can get some mixed feelings on it, see how I like it.
Yeah.
But I said, I'm probably going to stick with him for now because I know how he done. I like how his training method is kind of how we train.
Yeah.
You know, they don't run loose. He works them on time, puts them back up. And.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our little talk on that. We want to talk more stuff, or we want to call it quits on
this.
Yeah,
I mean, if y'all want to send any more questions in.
I want to hear his story.
Well, we're going to tell this story. That's what I'm thinking. We got to let Johnny tell this story. So, we'll tell the story and then we'll let everybody go. So I'll start it out. So Johnny, he's recently lost.
Have you heard this story, Stacy?
I don't think so.
He's not heard this story.
This is new.
For so Johnny's just lost one of his uncles. We was all around him our whole life, and he was a great guy. But Johnny sends me this video the other night, and I didn't pay no attention to it, and didn't really realize who it was. And then he sent it back. He said, "Watch that again, and you'll figure out what he's talking about." And who it is. And I get to look, and he goes, I'm like, "That's Chuck." He said, "Now listen to the story he's telling." So Chuck is, it's a video from Chuck at his work site where he was at. So he's in his construction uniform there, and he's telling these boys in here about what Johnny did to him when he was younger. So remember, this is the uncle that Johnny lived with, kind of helped raise him and everything else. We was always around Chuck. And this is the back in the days when all these stories that we've been telling in the past about Johnny were going on. But this one has to do with a shocking collar. And I'll just say, Chuck was trying to tell Johnny that them shocking collars, they don't do nothing. And Johnny's over here like, "Well, strap it on, big boy." And he did. And I'll let Johnny take over from there because all I can tell you is in the video is Chuck standing there telling these boys, and he's holding his neck going, "Oh," and he's shaking and jumping. And he's like, "I told him to turn that thing off." And then, "Oh." So tell it from there, Johnny. What happened?
Well, we was in the conversation one day about new shocking collars. And, them things ain't bad. Them ain't got no. He said, I can wear that thing. I said, "Strap it up." And he put it on. And I turned it up a little bit. I juiced
now, this
him
is
more.
The old Tritronics, the good ones.
Yeah, I juiced him just a hair, and he jumped and carried on. He said, yep, it works. And I turned her up a little bit more. And I jumped. He jumped and fell back in the recliner and went to wallowing around there. Well, I go to going outside.
With the receiver in his hand.
With my receiver in my hand. I go out there, and he comes out like to the porch, and I'm already in the truck. And I'm driving down the road. And about every time I change gears, I'm a lightning nut.
See, he runs off with it. Chuck's over there on the porch screaming and yelling at
him. He's trying to get the collar off of his neck, and every time he reaches for that collar, I bump him. I just keep going up and keep going up. I believe he still had 2 burn marks in his neck when it all
said and done. So the whole video is Chuck telling them boys about how Johnny was just running off on me, and he jumped the truck and left. He just kept shocking me, and he wouldn't stop.
And I didn't stop. Neither did we got plumbed to the stop sign, which is probably 3/4 of a mile away. I know I had to stop sometime because I had to come back home.
Yeah. How did that end up for you that night when you did go back to the house?
It was all right. He said it was okay. He said he understood. Understanding wasn't Chuck's strong point, but
yeah, but
he understood. He brought it on himself.
But what's he gonna say? It's the same Chuck that you live with that you picked the Ford Ranger up with back in.
Well, I did do that too.
That is true.
Yeah, so he ain't gonna say a whole lot.
That was hilarious, though. That was funny.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. I got the video. I watched it several times.
Oh, it was.
Should do round 2 in memory of Chuck and let one of us do it to Johnny.
How about that, Johnny?
No.
Come on.
I have a Tritronics over there.
There's another part I didn't mention about that. Chuck has a lot of liquid courage.
Surely it wasn't involved.
I'm not involved in liquid courage, so I will just say negative and let it go.
May have had a little in the system.
Well, thanks everybody for listening to another episode, and we'll just send us some more questions and so forth, and give us some more topics that you'd like to hear about.
We're signing out.
Signing out.
Adios, everyone.